the truth.
I am so sick of the media dictating the terms of the narrative in this country. I'm so sick of having to be apologetic for who I am. I'm so sick of people in middle America being called flyover country or slope-headed.
Conservative teabaggers.
And it's going to be teabagging day.
It's hard to talk when you're teabagging. Appreciate it very much.
It's so funny because the teabaggers, the one thing they hate is when you call them racist.
If racism is not the whole of the Tea Party, it is in its heart.
The hatred that Timothy McVeigh, that he had. There are plenty of people like that right now.
Lots of.
I think you get the general tenor of this. It's anti-government. Since this is highly promoted by the right-wing conservative network, Fox.
The left pits people against each other. Divide and conquer is the strategy. I don't want to live in that world. It is the exact opposite of E Pluribus Unum. And what the left has stood for with political correctness is to try and get those with whom they disagree to shut up. And the Tea Party movement and Sarah Palin and Michelle Bachmann and Alan West and all the people that have gone out there against the mainstream media and said, you're going to call us racist? You're going to call us potential Timothy McVeighs? Fuck you. War.
Good morning. Good morning and welcome to Road Warrior Radio. You're tuned in live this Wednesday, June 30th, 2021 on the one and only Republic Broadcasting Network. And as always, thanks for coming along for the ride. It is a wild and dystopic ride. Continuing perhaps from Monday, some thoughts before we dive down the rabbit hole. First again, just as, you know, by way of reminder, Arnold J. Toynbee from the quote cited in Aaron and Melissa Dyke's documentary, The Minds of Men, Arnold J. Toynbee, macro historian extraordinaire, you know, study of history, 12 volume series. And, some interesting things that he wrote. I've read some of those on the broadcast. But he said, he observed, we are, I believe, involved in present at what I can only call a third world war. Man's struggle to save his personality from destruction by technology is something more than a substitute for war. It is a form of war itself. And I noticed that Demolition Man was aired yesterday, 1993, I believe, right? And the setting is 2032, which is interesting when you watch it now. Wesley Snipes, Sylvester Stallone, Sandra Bullock as Lenina Huxley, ode to Aldous Huxley in particular. And if you are familiar with Bertrand Russell's impact of science on society in particular, and I think two things come to mind. It is the depiction of Huxley's Brave New World sort of played out, but what we are seeing occurring in society correlates directly to what Bertrand Russell surmised in a scientific society that becomes more totalitarian than the most totalitarian societies at the time, 1952. And that's what we're seeing. And it you know, the Hollywood version of that, one of them is Demolition Man. And it's interesting, you know, these folks who the technocrats among us, you know, the soothsayers of data, they will fix everything, they'll make everything perfect, except they won't. They're actually, you know, the depiction in Demolition Man is that the guy who created San Angeles is actually the arch supervillain of the story, who has portrayed himself as some loving, benevolent dictator, essentially. Isn't that interesting? So that's kind of where we're at. And so man's struggle to save his personality from destruction by technology is something more than a substitute for war. It is a form of war itself, as Toynbee observed. And here we are in America today. And the coercive element of technology, and not just gadgets and things, but all of the research that has been done on man and animals as a means to manipulate, coerce, and nudge, persuade, influence man into a little box is sort of all around us. Just a quick couple of observations. The Citizen EcoDrive watch, are you familiar? It's powered by any light and never needs a battery. A little bit of light will power the watch for up to 6 months. I mentioned the ethanol discussion recently. It's never been about saving the planet. It's always been about control. And again, James Corbett did a masterful job of pointing this out in his Big Oil series, How and Why Big Oil Conquered the World. And Henry Ford, the fuel of the future is going to come from fruit like that sumac out on the road, or from apples, weeds, sawdust, almost anything. There's fuel in every bit of vegetable matter that can be fermented. Wow. So everybody has been encouraged to, you know, buy your own still, for example, so that you can ferment your own ethanol, and we're all free, and it's a lighter footprint on the earth, and we don't, oh no, we're not doing that. It's interesting. Why are we not doing that? If it's all about helping the earth and lightening the burden. But, you know, some will say, well, that's still polluting the earth. Now, my understanding is that the ethanol is cleaner, and that the gasoline was originally a waste product. So it was never really about saving the planet. That's just part of a religion, and it really is a religion. People are adopting it, and you can see that they are adopting it in very religious sort of fashion. Living by faith, hoping that these soothsayers of data are not steering them wrong, but how do they know? How do we know, dear comrades? So the Citizen EcoDrive watch is powered by any light and never needs a battery. A little bit of light will power the watch for up to 6 months. Other makers like Casio are copying this technology. So question, why do you suppose we do not have automobiles that function similarly? Because again, Nikola Tesla himself was the guy who talked about harnessing our machine to the wheel work of nature. When we figured out how electricity works, it's kind of like the Back to the Future scenario where your flux capacitor is charged just by driving down the road, according to Nikola Tesla. And now we have all of this technology that bears his, you know, the eponymous Tesla technology, and so many things like cell phones that are still, and radio obviously, so many things that are still based on Nikola Tesla's work. So why have we not listened to him and found a way to harness our machine to the wheel work of nature so that as the machine drives around, it's recharged. The flux capacitor is charged just by driving down the road. Or, you know, speaking of the Back to the Future scenario, you raid the garbage can for your reactor, basically, similar to what Henry Ford talked about. Why are we not doing that? And if it's not about control, then what is the legitimate, not the plausibly deniable good reason, but the legitimate reason for not doing that? One more bit of nostalgia, perhaps, before we dive in. Teaching is something that we've talked about, you know, speaking of James Corbett's How and Why Big Oil Conquered the World, there's, you know, the Frederick Taylor Gates quote, obviously, in our dream, we have limitless resources and the people yield themselves with perfect docility to our molding hand. The present educational conventions fade from our minds and unhampered by tradition, we work our own goodwill upon a grateful and responsive folk. We shall not try to make these people or any of their children into philosophers or men of learning or science. We are not to raise up from among them authors, orators, poets, or men of letters. We shall not search for embryo great artists, painters, musicians, nor will we cherish even the humbler ambition to raise up from among them lawyers, doctors, preachers, politicians, statesmen, of whom we now have ample supply. You may perhaps call to mind Bertrand Russell's Impact of Science on Society, where similarly, in a scientific dictatorship like we now live in here in America, the way Bertrand Russell put it, children will, as in Plato's Republic, be taken from their mothers and reared by professional nurses. We call it kindergarten and so forth. Child care. Gradually, by selective breeding, the congenital differences between rulers and ruled will increase until they become almost different species. A revolt of the plebes would become as unthinkable as an organized insurrection of sheep against the practice of eating mutton. And then, of course, parenthetically, he adds the Aztecs. Kept a domesticated alien tribe for purposes of cannibalism. Their regime was totalitarian. We had milk cartons for a while. Those went away. We had some interesting things. So there's Demolition Man. There's that scenario. There is H.G. Wells' Time Machine. That scenario. Those people who, you know, a revolt of the plebes would become as unthinkable as an organized insurrection of sheep against the practice of eating mutton. So this is what bad guys, you know, dream up and scheme up. And as a juxtaposition to that, here's a little fun little thing from 1886. Rules for teachers. This is what rules for teachers used to look like. Instead of this crazy stuff, I don't know if you've seen some things lately, but I have. You know, teachers mutilating themselves in cultural Marxist fashion, teaching others to do the same. That's fun. So, rules for teachers, 1886. Duties before and after school session. Wash windows and clean classroom with soap and water once a week. Check outhouses daily. Plenty of old catalogs are available at school board office. And then apparel. forbidden wear in public at all times. This is forbidden wear at all times for teachers in 1886. Women, a bathing costume, forbidden. Bloomers for cycling, forbidden. Skirts slit to expose ankles. My goodness. And fourth, bustle extension over 10 inches. And for men, because, you know, men can be teachers too, apparel that is forbidden for men. Detachable collar and necktie removed from shirt. Two, shirt sleeves unlinked and rolled. And three, hair closely cropped unless bald or have disease of the scalp. Isn't that interesting? We don't need to be exposing all that skin. And by the way, people say, well, it's hot. I mean, have you seen what's going on? Yeah, the Western states are on fire, literally and figuratively. Now, of course, it's apparently the Western states are the hottest place on earth, really? Hotter than Saudi Arabia? So that sounds perfectly normal. People are talking about that. You know, it's 108 here, it's 114 there, it's 104 here. Places that do get hot in the summer, but not that hot. And now, of course, places are on fire. I wonder what happens when the power grid goes down when it's 114 degrees out. And also, I was also sort of wondering yesterday if there's some correlation, you know, does the kind of like, you know, we learned way back when that the, what do you call it? The aspartame turns to formaldehyde at a temperature just below your body temperature, normal body temperature. How convenient. So you're embalming yourself every time you drink a Coke or whatever, eat those genetically modified Cheetos or whatever. I wonder if there's any correlation between the extreme heat and bad things that stem from the whatever you call it. I would call it a bioweapon, but these shots that everybody's, the COVAX, you know? Anyway, back to rules for teachers. Conduct, cause for immediate dismissal. This conduct is cause for immediate dismissal. Smoking of cigarettes, use of spirits, frequenting of pool or public dance halls. Those are cause for immediate dismissal of teachers. Marriage or other unseemly behavior by women teachers. Isn't that something? And last but not least, joining any feminist movement such as the suffragettes. And I thought that was particularly interesting in today's cultural Marxist milieu, in the higher learning if we can call it that, higher learning so-called forum or venue or whatever. Joining of any feminist movement. I think, you know, that would include promoting the cultural Marxist agenda. A lot of folks are asking questions about critical theory, critical race theory, is it being taught, et cetera, et cetera. I dare say it probably would have been cause for immediate dismissal in 1886. So this was a different America. We were, you know, we cared about our country, each other. We've been steeped in this self-hatred and self-loathing for so long now. People can't remember. You know, we've forgotten. And then there was that stuff that's happened, you know, for the last 20 years, but then most recently for the last 18 months or so. It's been overwhelming. Stick around. We'll be right back.
Folks, we're living in a world the likes of which we've never perceived any clearer than we do now. The plan for global governance has been in the works for generations and would have likely been achieved by now but for the fact that the globalists left open their Achilles heel. With all their tools, Federal Reserve System, fiat currency, No Child Left Behind, and then Common Core education introduced to our schools to dumb us down, vaccines, pharmaceuticals to lobotomize us, GMO foods, insertion of compromised or bought and paid for politicians, judges, mainstream media propaganda, all pieced together like a puzzle designed to ultimately bring the world under submission. But with all their strategy, they forgot one thing: knowledge. And knowledge is power. With knowledge, their bombardment is nullified. Folks, with that, as brilliant and knowledgeable as you've become, among the wisest audience of any radio audience in the world, and you are, I want you to take a moment to reflect and ask yourself, how much of that knowledge did I obtain from Republic Broadcasting Network? How high has my consciousness been raised since I've been a listener? How fast am I now able to discriminate truth from fake news by being a Republic Broadcasting listener? How clear am I now able to see the world since I've been listening to RBN? Ask yourselves those questions, folks. Then ask yourself, what is that knowledge worth to me? Like my morning coffee, how would I survive without it? A voice of truth in a sea of lies. Do we not all need to make sure it survives? Like public broadcasting, we are now finding we can only survive with listener support. Censorship, advertisers being attacked, truth itself being attacked. It's the only way through this. We at Republic Broadcasting humbly ask you to become a supporter. Look at your budget and make a determination of what Republic Broadcasting is worth to you and what you can afford on a monthly basis. Go to republicbroadcasting.org and pledge 20, 30, 40, 50, if possible, 100 a month or more if it's affordable. Click the donate button and become a regular monthly donor. Assure both us and yourself that Republic Broadcasting truth will continue to flow like that morning coffee. The network thanks you.
Homeowners, if your lender has gone out of business or sold your transaction to another lender or servicer, you may be the victim of a wrongful foreclosure resulting in the loss of your home. If you've already lost your home, are in foreclosure, or even in good standing, you can challenge the mortgage transaction's illegal issue and your property can be restored to you, and your foreclosure can be stopped or reversed and the mortgage transaction declared unenforceable. State laws, U.S. title codes, the Uniform Commercial Codes, and U.S. Supreme Court rulings have upheld that defective mortgage documentations can reverse or stop foreclosures and enforce property title claims in favor of the homeowner. We are having successes in stopping the process of foreclosure, the enforcement of the foreclosure judgments, the sale of property, and evictions after the sale. We are not attorneys, and we don't give legal advice. We are a professional team of legal researchers, providing forensic mortgage audits and expert witnesses. We have the knowledge to produce the evidence and enforce laws regarding your legal issues. We've been in business for 12 years without a complaint. Consultations are free, and we provide a free title search to confirm if your mortgage has legal defects. Please call 855-253-3748. 855-2 keep it today.
Thank you.
Welcome back. All right, so let's talk about handlers, puppets and handlers. There are figureheads and there are handlers. There is the allegory of the cave, as it were. And there are handlers. You know, Woodrow Wilson had Edward Mandel House, who was the colonel, who was not a colonel. FDR had Henry Morgenthau, for example. Jimmy Carter, of course, had Zbigniew Brzezinski. Several folks have had Henry Kissinger, the devil himself. The world is run by Henry Kissinger, and Tom Cruise and Madonna are the main, what do you call it? Anyway, so for Winston Churchill, it was Frederick Lindemann. And, you know, again, guys like Bertrand Russell, you know, a lot of the influential figures were actually a lot of prominent public figures, influential in academia and so forth, and in politics, and, you know, thought leaders basically were also very influential in politics. Lindemann is one of those guys. He was one of those guys that believed a small clique of folks, kind of like the Fabian Circle and the Rhodes-Milner roundtable groups, you know, speaking of Price's Law, should run the world. And that would result in a stable society led by supermen and served by helots, is the way he put it. I've mentioned that before. He concluded that science could yield a race of obedient humans blessed with the mental makeup of the worker bee, quote unquote. And we seem to have been moving in this direction for quite some time now. So there is that quote. You know, Dana Ashley included it in one of her videos. We played the clip recently. Many people appreciated that, apparently. But the quote from the prof, biography of Frederick Lindemann, chief advisor to Winston Churchill. Remember when Eustace Mullins talked about David Irving's book about Winston Churchill? Winston Churchill was a drunk they kept in the basement and brought out when they needed a blustery speech. And David Irving wrote the true, unvarnished history of Winston Churchill, and, you know, the Rothschild publishing contingent said, no, we can't have that story being told. So that story was not widely publicized, and David Irving, you know, well, he kept trying to tell the truth, I think, as far as he knew it anyway. So anyway, Frederick Lindemann, he made a curious observation. We'll talk about it when we come back.
I want the truth! You can't handle the truth!
You're listening to Republic Broadcasting Network. Real news. Real talk. Real people. Because you can handle the truth.
It's happening, ladies and gentlemen. We here at RBN are working with Front Sight Firearms Training Institute to bring our audience the best in combat, tactical, and defensive firearms training. Whether you're a private citizen who is new to firearms, or you have a concealed weapon permit, and want a level of training that surpasses what you've received from your local gun range, Front Sight provides priceless education and skills taught by seasoned law enforcement, military, and private citizen instructors to levels that far exceed law enforcement and military standard. With nearly a million responsible citizens trained from every town, city, and state from across the United States, Front Sight has bolstered the Patriot movement to a whole new level. Contact Dan Sutterfield by phone at 573-762-2356 or 573-465-2356 or shoot him an email at domedan, D-O-M-E-D-A-N, at hotmail.com. This is a limited-time opportunity. Don't miss it.
Extendivite has proven time and again it really works. Here's a testimonial from Amazon.com. I am only 40, but I have put my body through hell working in manufacturing for 20 years. I recently started to notice a buzzing feeling along with a stuttering sensation with my heart. I had a full cardio stress done, which I passed. I decided to try Extendivite after getting the jingle stuck in my head. Halfway through the bottle, I really did notice a difference. After getting home from work, I would just sit in a chair for a few hours feeling like crap, and this stuff reduced that feeling along with heart discomfort to almost nothing. Extendivite is only $69.95 for a 2-month supply. To order, call 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com. That's HEARTDROP.com.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
Homeowners, are you in foreclosure, expecting to be served with a foreclosure lawsuit, or suspect your lender has coerced you into an illegal mortgage transaction? A huge number of mortgages made in the last 10 years have legal issues and are possibly defective. State laws and the U.S. Supreme Court have upheld that defective mortgage documents are grounds for foreclosure defense and for counterclaims in favor of the homeowner. If your mortgage has been sold or assigned since closing the loan, it may be defective and you may be paying the wrong party, and the lender may not have standing or the right to foreclose or collect payments under the law. If you would like to know if your mortgage is legal or not, or know if you are paying the right party, we can help. Our initial consultations are free of charge. We are not attorneys. We are legal researchers and work closely with experienced lawyers who know how to help you find the evidence to help you keep your home. Call toll free 1-855-2-KEEP-IT. That's 1-855-2-KEEP-IT today.
Reluctantly crouched at the starting line, engines pumping and thumping in time. The green light flashes, the flags go up. Churning and burning, they yearn for the cup. They deftly maneuver and muscle for rank. Fuel burning fast on an empty tank. Reckless and wild, they pour through the turns. Their prowess is potent and secretly stern. As they speed through the finish, the flags go down. The fans get up and they get out of town. The arena is empty except for one man, still driving and striving as fast as he can. The sun has gone down and the moon has come up, and long ago somebody left with the cup. But he's driving and striving and hugging the turns and thinking of someone for whom he still burns. He's going the distance. He's going for speed. She's all alone, all alone in a time of need. Because he's racing and pacing and plotting the course. He's fighting and fighting and riding on his horse. He's going the distance. Flashbulbs, no wine. He's haunted by something he cannot define. Bowel-shaking earthquakes of doubt and remorse assail him, impale him with monster truck force. In his mind, he's still driving, still making the grade. She's hoping in time that her memories will fade. Cause he's racing and pacing and plotting the course. He's fighting and fighting and riding on his horse.
Welcome back.
The sun has gone down and the moon has come up. And long ago...
All right, so Frederick Lindemann. What was his curious observation? We've talked about this before. Again, it's in, you know, Dana Ashley mentioned it in her video, and people said, what was that? Who, what's she talking about? Who is that? And what is she saying? Curious observation. So, as quoted in the Prof, one of the many biographies written about Frederick Lindemann, again, Churchill handler extraordinaire par excellence. The excerpt, the relevant excerpt, Professor Frederick Lindemann, the chief advisor to Winston Churchill and the inspiration and architect of the air crucifixion of Germany, was in a reflective mood after the war. Toward the end of his life, Lindemann made a remark on more than one occasion with such an air of seriousness that he seemed to regard it as his testament of wisdom. And I accordingly feel it incumbent upon me to record it here, although not in perfect sympathy with it. Do you know, he asked, what the future historians will regard as the most important event of this age? Well, what is it? It will not be Hitler and the Second World War. It will not be the release of nuclear energy. It will not be the menace of communism. These negatives seem very comprehensive. He put on an expression of extreme severity and turned down the corners of his lips. It will be the abdication of the white man. Then he nodded his head up and down several times to drive home his proposition. I've had conversations with friends recently who understand this. They have not read R.F. Herod's The Prof, published back in 1959. They're not familiar with these words from pages 261 and 262. But they're seeing it. And they're talking about it. And it's playing out in a very curious sort of way. Speaking of cultural Marxism, speaking of Andrew Breitbart's observations and his efforts. You know, you see it in things like, white people talking about, exercising repressive tolerance essentially against themselves and one another. And this is not a race baiting kind of thing. This is just, these are observations and en route to more. It's not just the abdication of the white man. It's the abdication of mankind, ultimately. And as some friends have observed, particularly recently, there's one friend who has a lot of academic and intellectual cosmopolitan friends. I think of Val Kilmer's portrayal of Doc Holliday, very cosmopolitan. He sees these people doing these curious things, talking about racial oppression and so forth. And so, he asks, well, okay, I mean, if this is a thing, have you experienced it? Well, of course not. I mean, I'm a white guy, so no, I have not experienced this racial oppression that I'm talking about, that I'm shaking the cliche Marxist fist about. Okay, do you know someone who's experienced this kind of, because when I listen to a Candace Owens or a Thomas Sowell or, any number of other folks, I don't hear, that this is really the issue. This is the plight of civilization, let alone any one particular demographic. There are other issues that affect people more directly. Well, no, I don't know anybody. Okay, well, do you know somebody who may have had, a relative, a generation, two, three, even four generations ago? Nope, I don't know, but it is a thing. It's a problem, really. Well, then for whom? And you have to ask yourself, if you don't know, if you're not a person who's been affected by it directly, and if you don't know somebody in your immediate sphere of influence, or even somebody who has someone in their family lineage generations removed that can say, yes, here is, great-grandpa so-and-so and grandma so-and-so, and here's what happened, and here's how this affects us to this day. Because history does. It can affect us. That's, part of the lesson. To actually know history is important, and it can influence in many ways, both good and bad. So it's important to know, but you have to kind of ask yourself, if I don't know anybody, who's been directly affected by these things, or even has someone in their family lineage generations removed that can point to here's what happened and here's why that's so influential and why it needs to be addressed today. Just in simple terms, you have to ask yourself, why are we hearing this message then? And so back to this friend who makes these observations, and he says, you know, basically, again, it's the abdication of mankind, but not directly. It's a very subtle, insidious sort of end around. It's a circuitous route to the subversion and abdication of mankind by way of basically uniting the masses and some folks with less constitution and fortitude, them too, uniting these folks against basically, let's just call it, you know, an Anglo-Saxon bunch of folks that have the constitution enough to stand up and say, this is enough. We will not stand for this. And then, so if you can do away with those folks, you know, if you can create an angry lynch mob of folks, pitchforks and torches in the night, that are going to get rid of those folks, then once those folks are gone, then basically you can just turn these folks against each other, and ultimately it is the abdication of mankind, the self-destruction, the suiciding, if you will, of mankind. I want to get back to Hayek's Road to Serfdom. I mentioned that on Monday. But first, speaking of the abdication of mankind, remember Jaron Lanier's You're Not a Gadget, a manifesto? Let's see. There is part one, what is a person? Chapter one, missing persons. Chapter two, an apocalypse of self-abdication. Ah, yes. An apocalypse of self-abdication. Jaron Lanier is a brilliant guy. The idea that I hope will not be locked in, the ideas that I hope will not be locked in, rest on philosophical foundation that I sometimes call cybernetic totalism, a term that he coined, which is brilliant. It applies metaphors from certain strains of computer science to people and the rest of reality. Pragmatic objections to this philosophy are presented. What do you do when the techies are crazier than the Luddites? Great question. What do you do when the techies are crazier than the Luddites? The singularity is an apocalyptic idea originally proposed by John von Neumann, one of the inventors of digital computation, and elucidated by figures such as Werner Vinge and Ray Kurzweil. Here's a copy of this, the Age of Spiritual Machines. Remember that passage in chapter 11, 2029? Should I read that, dear comrades? Chapter 8, 1999. Here's the timeline. Oh, 2099. Here it is. Chapter 11, 2029. Right around the corner. Pages 220 and 221. So what is Ray Kurzweil envisaging for 2029? Displays are now implanted in the eyes. Remember when Scott Klosowski said at the 2016 Digital Gaming Convention, we're going to move from mobile to wearables to implantables. We're going to. It's a hard idea for some people, you know, to think that we're going to merge with technology to connect better with technology, but we're going to. Really? That's weird. We get all this technology now that wants to do that. Folks like Larry are sending me emails on that. There's just tons of technology. If you don't, you're not familiar and you're curious, go watch some of the Profusa videos. Displays are now implanted in the eyes with a choice of permanent implants, yikes, or removable implants, similar to contact lenses. Images are projected directly onto the retina, providing the usual high-resolution three-dimensional overlay on the physical world. These implanted visual displays also act as cameras, of course they do, to capture visual images and thus are both input and output devices. Because, you know, in the Internet of Things, dear comrades, we all become things. It's the abdication of mankind, or as Jaron Lanier puts it, an apocalypse of self-abdication. Cochlear implants, originally used just for the hearing impaired, are now ubiquitous. These implants provide auditory communication in both directions between the human user and the worldwide computing network. What? Yeah, because if you're the devil and you're trying to counterfeit God's omniscience and omnipresence, the internets are a great way to do it. The ubiquity of the interwebs. But here's the punchline to all of this. Direct neural pathways have been perfected for high bandwidth connection to the human brain. This allows bypassing certain neural regions. For example, visual pattern recognition, long-term memory. Those are curious regions to single out. And augmenting or replacing the functions of these regions in what, like total recall sort of fashion? Which is an oxymoron, right? Total recall of only what you're supposed to recall. This allows bypassing certain neural regions, for example, visual pattern recognition, long-term memory, and augmenting or replacing the functions of these regions with computing performed either in a neural implant or externally. A range of neural implants is becoming available to enhance visual and auditory perception and interpretation, memory, and reasoning. And then in later chapters, later in the future, by about 2049, I think it is, Kurzweil surmises that if you don't have these implants, then eventually you won't be able to compete or even communicate because your cell phone will be an implant. And, you know, if you don't have these remember, what was it, Limitless? That was drugs, right? That was Bradley Cooper, I think. The implants are, you know, it's implants and psychotropics that are going to combine to make us all better people. How horrifying. So back to Jaron Lanier's You're Not a Gadget, a manifesto. Part one, What is a Person? Chapter two, An Apocalypse of Self-Abdication. There are many versions – well, okay, so elucidated by figures such as Werner Vinge and Ray Kurzweil, there are many versions of the fantasy of the singularity. Here's the one Marvin Minsky used to tell over the dinner table in the early 1980s. One day soon, maybe 20 or 30 years into the 21st century, computers and robots will be able to construct copies of themselves, and these copies will be a little better – than the originals because of intelligent software. The second generation of robots will then make a third, but it will take less time because of the improvements over the first generation. The process will repeat. Successive generations will be even smarter and will appear even faster. People might think they're in control until one day the rate of robot improvement ramps up so quickly that super intelligent robots will suddenly rule the Earth. Wait, I think I heard Jordy Rose tell that story. Didn't we hear Jordy Rose tell that story? And then he said, but it's not exactly robots. It's these things we're summoning. They're like the Lovecraftian old gray ones. And, you know, they care. Don't worry about that. And then there is the, speaking of an apocalypse of self-abdication and the summoning of the demon, there is, of course, Elon Musk talking about merging with this stuff to avoid the abdication of mankind, but that's misleading as well, right? So we're going to avoid destruction by destroying ourselves. This is these things are counterintuitive and, dare I say, nonsensical. Anyway, back to Jaron Lanier's You're Not a Gadget, and then Hayek's Road to Serfdom. How does it all fit together? Stick around, we'll be right back.
There, are you gonna wait till the cows come home to get your new Ease-Off drop-in lift?
What in the world is an Ease-Off drop-in lift?
Our Ease-Off is a new tool to increase production for your meat processing company that will get that whole hog or half a beef on or off your rail with our remote control.
That sounds great, but can I afford it?
Sure, and the Ease-Off installs fast. The effortless operation will reduce fatigue, speed up your line, and increase profits.
Okay, I'm convinced. Where can I get my Ease-Off?
Go to easeoff.com. That's EAZEOFF.com. And hurry, because we're offering free shipping for a limited time. Easeoff.com. We make pigs fly. Cows, too.
Ease-Off, LLC, 417-932-6419.
Extendivite 7-herb formulation is approved to help maintain cardiovascular health and help lower blood lipid levels in adults. Extendivite is made from hawthorn, garlic, valerian, cayenne, bilberry, ginkgo biloba, and milk thistle. The herbs in Extendivite have been chosen for their ability to help with overall health. Many people have reported improved energy and stamina in just a few months. If you think you could feel just a little bit better, then Extendivite may just be for you. Extendivite is an all-natural supplement. Extendivite is only $69.95 for a 2-month supply. To order, call 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com. That's HEARTDROP.com.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
Here at Republic Broadcasting Network, we have been building our online store. Well, we have been focusing on bringing you the best talk show host in the country. Here at Republic Broadcasting Network, we also want our listeners to have products they can use every day and in times of emergency. We have added new products each week to our store. Your support of this network, plus products at the best prices, is a win-win situation. Check out our new store. Go to our website, republicbroadcasting.org, and click on the online store located at the top of our website. Together, we can continue to grow RBN and help our listeners prepare for the future. Go to republicbroadcasting.org and click on our online store, or call us.
800-724-2719, extension 3. 800-724-2719, extension 3.
Friends feel it's their appointed duty. They keep trying to tell me, all you want to do is use me. But my answer, just keep on using me until you use me up. Until you use me up. My brother sit me right down and he talked to me. He told me, that I ought not to let you just walk on me. And I'm sure he meant well.
Welcome back.
Yeah, but when I talk was...
Final segment of the first hour of today's broadcast. This Wednesday, June 30th, 2021. So, back to Jaron Lanier's You're Not a Gadget, a manifesto. Part one, What is a Person? Chapter two, An Apocalypse of Self-Abdication. So, this singularity concept, in some versions of the story, Lanier continues, the robots are imagined to be microscopic, forming a gray goo that eats the earth. Or else the internet itself comes alive and rallies all the net-connected machines, which includes you and I, dear comrades, into an army to control the affairs of the planet. You know, it's Skynet. Humans might then enjoy immortality within virtual reality, because the global brain would be so huge that it would be absolutely easy, a no-brainer, pun intended perhaps, if you will, for it to host all our consciousness for eternity. So resistance is futile. You will be assimilated and all your internets are belong to us. The coming singularity is a popular belief in the Society of Technologists. Singularity books are as common in computer science departments as rapture images are in the evangelical bookstore. Just in case you are not familiar with the rapture, he adds, it is a colorful belief in American evangelical culture about the Christian apocalypse. When I was growing up in rural New Mexico, rapture paintings would often be found in places like gas stations or hardware stores. They would usually include cars crashing into each other because the virtuous drivers had suddenly disappeared. The virtuous driver has suddenly disappeared, having been called to heaven just before the onset of hell on earth. The immensely popular Left Behind novels also described this scenario. There might be some truth to the idea associated with the singularity, at least at the very largest scale of reality. It might be true that on some vast cosmic basis, higher and higher forms of consciousness inevitably arise, until the whole universe becomes a brain or something along those lines. There's more. But what is the connection? Again, back to things like cultural Marxism and this influence. We'll talk about it when we come back. Stick around. Second hour coming up.
Homeowners, if your lender has gone out of business or sold your transaction to another lender or servicer, you may be the victim of a wrongful foreclosure resulting in the loss of your home. If you've already lost your home, are in foreclosure, or even in good standing, you can challenge the mortgage transaction's illegal issue and your property can be restored to you, and your foreclosure can be stopped or reversed and the mortgage transaction declared unenforceable. State laws, U.S. title codes, the Uniform Commercial Codes, and U.S. Supreme Court rulings have upheld that defective mortgage documentations can reverse or stop foreclosures and enforce property title claims in favor of the homeowner. We are having successes in stopping the process of foreclosure, the enforcement of the foreclosure judgments, the sale of property, and evictions after the sale. We are not attorneys, and we don't give legal advice. We are a professional team of legal researchers, providing forensic mortgage audits and expert witnesses. We have the knowledge to produce the evidence and enforce laws regarding your legal issues. We've been in business for 12 years without a complaint. Consultations are free, and we provide a free title search to confirm if your mortgage has legal defects. Please call 855-253-3748. 855-2-KEEP-IT today.
This is RBN, the Republic Broadcasting Network.